Colossians chapter number 4 in the Word of God this evening, and for those who are visiting with us tonight, this is the closeout of a series that we've been in on discipleship, looking at discipleship and one-on-one discipleship, and we've been looking at us as individuals taking somebody through the Word of God and showing them some of the basics, but not just us, but it's been a good reminder for us to dive into some of the subjects that we've been in over the last 10 weeks. We shared with those that maybe who have just been saved the foundation of the Word of God. Where does it all start? And it starts with the Word of God. Then we would take the Word of God and we'll share with them through the Word of God. We'll introduce them to God and how God is eternal. And this eternal God is a God that wants to invest in our lives each and every day. And then from there, we teach someone how to pray and what does the Word of God say about praying and communication and talking to our Abba Father. And then after simply communicating with God, we looked at the subject of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs our life. And then over the last really 4 weeks, we've been looking at the local church. And what is the church? What is the definition of the church? Then we saw not only the definition, but the purpose of the church. Why do we meet? Why do we come together? What's the purpose of Crosspoint? And not only the purpose, but then a part. And how every one of us in this room tonight, we all have a part. And then last week, we kind of paused, got off track, and not really something that we're going to teach somebody one-on-one, but they'll hear through the preaching of God's Word. But that is why Crosspoint. And what we begin to do is to dive into, and if you were not here last week, I would encourage you to go back and to listen to last week's sermon on why Crosspoint. If somebody comes and, hey, they've just been saved, but there's a Catholic church that is closer or a Presbyterian church that has a female pastor that is kind of more aligned with our family, or we like the Methodist church because they have a bigger playground, or and so on and so on. And the message, I'm just going to tell you right now, it's not against other churches. The message is not, we're going to preach and show why we're better than everybody else. But the message is why we are Baptist. And we go through the Baptist distinctives, not setting up on a platform. Here's what we like and here's our preference and here's our standard. But no, once again, what does the Word of God say? And I know we've got some teenagers that are in here tonight that were not able to be at camp. And teenagers, I would encourage you to go back and to listen because it does make a difference. Can I hear an amen right there? It does make a difference what you and I believe. And we ought to be Bible believers. And so tonight, now we're going to dig into Colossians and chapter number 4. And for time's sake this evening, time's gotten away from us a little bit. I'm just going to have you be seated. Let me read this verse and we're going to dive right in tonight. Colossians chapter 4. Would you look with me at verse number 5? The Bible says this. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Watch the last three words, redeeming the time. So now that we've learned everything that we've been learning, now we're going to act. Now we're going to put into action the things that we have learned. Hold on, time out, watch now. It does not help us if we go to a doctor and a doctor says, here's what you need to do. You need to change your diet. You need to start walking. You need to take these pills twice a day. You need to do these things in order to what? To heal, to get better. This is good for your health. Well, the same is true with our great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us through His Word a script. He gives us through His Word medicine. He gives us through His Word the necessary food that you and I need. But if we do not listen to a physical doctor, we're not going to help ourselves. If we don't listen to our great physician, our Abba Father, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the same is true. We're just going to go through this life and we've heard, we've gained some knowledge. That was really good. But no. I want to preach a message for the next couple of moments on the time is now. Now we're going to get busy. The time is now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask, Lord, through this study tonight, that you meet with us, that you be here with us, move, guide, and direct. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Look at this passage of Scripture and watch the wording here and how it starts. It says this, walk, which is an action, it's movement. Walk in wisdom. The walk here refers to one's behavior. You see, Christians are to behave a certain way, especially in front of those, as the Bible says here, that are without. These are ways that you and I conduct ourselves, and especially in front of those that are without, are not saved. They do not have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The reason for this, you and I comprehend, is that the lost world is constantly searching. The lost world is always in a hunt. The lost world is always looking for something that's going to feel, something that's going to satisfy, something that's going to bring them joy. That's why so many of them are looking for, hey, Miss Deb Query, it is good to see you here tonight. I just noticed that. And Brother Burkett, you shaved. I thought you were a visitor here tonight. And I think that's, looking around the room, I think I'm done right there. So let's jump back in. The lost world is always looking for something that's going to fill them. It's going to satisfy them. We need to be more popular, more money, better cars, bigger houses, a better 401k, better retirement, climb the corporate ladder, all these things. But they're looking for something to fill a void, a hole in their life. And can I tell you, friend, you and I know what that is that's going to fill that hole. And His name is Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I are to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. But look at the wording here. It says, redeeming the time. Several times in Scripture, we find this expression, redeeming the time. To redeem literally means to purchase. You and I, no matter how hard we try, we are never able to gain back time. Every one of us in this room this evening, whether you like it or not, we all are given 24 hours in a day. We do not get any more. You and I do not get any less. So therefore, the time that you and I have on this earth, it must be spent very wisely. This evening I had Brother Man Crony lay up here several books that I just grabbed right off my library really quick. Said so most all of these I've read at least once, if not some of them twice. But all of these, most of these books are on time management, Atomic Habits, Tiny Changes, Remarkable Results, The Spark and the Grind, Ignite the Power of Discipline, Creativity, Live Lighter, Love Better by Kerry Schmidt, 12 Biblical Decisions for a Meaningful Life. Rework, our staff is going through this book over the summer and all about time management and how to work wisely, simplify, smarter, faster, better, the secrets of being productive in life and business. An older book now, but a great book that many of you have read, Execution, the Discipline of Getting Things Done. And then a book that I think just about everybody read about 10 years ago, David Allen's book, Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity. This was called The Productivity Project for a college student here. This is an excellent book. It was written on a blog of about 2 years. A guy blogged and experimented, Chris Bailey, and then he put it into a book. Now, comprehend, these are just several that's from my library. Go on Prime tonight, Amazon, Google Time Management, and you're going to get thousands of books that will come up and are going to teach you how to use your time wisely. But may I say, as we gather in church tonight, one of the most powerful and valuable motivations and methods in time management, it comes from the very Word of God. It's an encouragement. It is laid out for you and I that we just don't gather in church and we get some information and we do things the way we want to do it. And we park, we come in, we go through prayer, we get through prayer, we sing. Pastor does his, gives us his challenge for the evening and then we head out. No. The time is now to get busy. So let's look at the time is now for just a couple of moments. First of all, if you're taking notes, number one, realize the time. Number one, realize the time. The Bible says this, redeeming the time. If we're going to redeem it, we have to realize what time it is. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11 says this, and that knowing the time. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. Realize for you and I as Christians that our time here is short really to serve God. Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day in whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father serves that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." Check it out. Listen very carefully. Listen to the decision. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 12. "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it was shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he build thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." It's realizing that you and I have special gifts that have been given to us by the Lord. Our gifts in this room are very different. I am so thankful for the men and the women that serve here at Cross Point Baptist Church, because you and I realize very quickly we are of different backgrounds, we have different talents, we have different treasures, we have introverts, we have extroverts, we've got different life stage groups, we've got those that are in their 80s, and we've got those down to their, six months old to a year old. I mean, we've got a lot of different types of people. Can I tell you this? You and I have to realize that Jesus Christ is coming again. And you and I must realize that the gifts that you and I have been given, the time to act on those gifts is not in a year, not in 3 years, not in 4 years, but that gift is given to you and I, and we must realize that we have to act upon those gifts now. You and I must realize that our time here is short, and these gifts, you and I have to agree that those gifts need to be enacted. I said it Sunday night, and I said it the previous Sunday night as well. It boggles my mind the amount of times that you want somebody to serve and dig in and get in a ministry or get involved, and how much prayer we put into getting involved. Hey, it boggles my mind. I'm not calling anybody out here. I'm just saying, I would love for you to get involved in the choir. Well, you know, I really need to pray about that. we'd love for you to be on the spirit team. Yeah, I really need to go to the Lord in prayer for that. Like, one day we're going to get to heaven, and we've got a list of things that we were going to do for Christ, but we are praying to Christ about whether or not we should do what He has already commanded for you and I to do. What was it? I don't know. I think I ought to get involved. Isn't it amazing? We will sign. I saw a billboard the other day. You can now finance a vehicle for 84 months. I cannot imagine that, but you can. That's unbelievable. There are people that will go down and they'll sign a 84 months. Here we go. I'm gonna buy this vehicle. Sign up for a cell phone plan. 2 years. Boom. I'm in. I'm gonna get insurance at this. Just sign up and it's overdone. Sign on the dotted line. We go and we buy and we do business all the time. We never talk to God about any of it. When it comes to serving Him, all of a sudden we got to take 2 or 3 years to really. Well, we need to talk to God about what we want to accomplish for Him. You and I have to realize this evening, my friend, time is short. Number two tonight, recognize that life is short. Number two, recognize that life is short. The psalmist said in Psalm 90 and verse number 10, "The days of our years," listen very carefully, "are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it soon is cut off. And we," watch the warning here, "fly away." The psalmist said in Psalm 90 and verse number 12. Listen to this very carefully. "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I'm going to ask you this evening, have you ever numbered your days? Well, Pastor, we can't do that because no man knows the hour when he's going to go home, and nobody knows when they're going to die, and it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be... I understand that. But on average, I looked up, and this is of 2021, the global life expectancy of a male is 70 years old. In the United States, it's a little bit higher, around 75 point whatever years old. And Indiana happens to be around 41 in the states for life expectancy. We're not doing too great, 41 out of 50, but still there's some other states that are worse. But you can add about another year. So, men, it's right around life expectancy of about 76 years. But globally, it's about 7 years. For a female, it's 75 years. That's the life expectancy. Again, that's global. There's a lot of research that goes into it. I'm just telling you what Google said, okay? But for sake this evening, some of you are like, man, I'm over 70 years old. Okay, you're doing great. You're in overtime. You hang on. But I want to put it this way. If that's my life expectancy, when I was born, I got received, since today's Wednesday, let's use that as an illustration, 3,640 Wednesdays in my life. That's how many Wednesdays I was given to live. 3,640. If I am now 38 tomorrow, I'm going to be 39. Can you believe that? Okay, so tomorrow I'm 39. That means this. I would have 1,612 Wednesdays left. 1,612 Saturdays is how many Saturdays I have left. You say, Pastor, you don't know that. You can live longer. I get it. But you know what the psalmist is saying? Teach us to number our days. And when we number our days, you and I begin to recognize that we don't have a lot of time. If you begin to look at that number and compute, not right now, some of you are right now, somehow. I saw two of you pull out your phones, and I know it's not Facebook. You're using your calculator, you big cheater. So number your days later after this sermon, but recognize that life is short. And if we number our days, it begins to put into perspective that you and I cannot waste any time. The prodigal son, we often talk about it, and he was a waster of life, and he was a waster of time, and my goodness, we always concentrate on the prodigal's father running out. I preach it many times, and I love that, but you know, what we don't concentrate on is that truly, even though we came home, and even though he was welcome, and even though he had a robe put on him, and a ring, and a party thrown, can I just tell you, he still wasted his inheritance. It was gone. He didn't get it back. He didn't get those time back. He didn't even get to go back and say, well, I'd like to erase for my memory sitting here eating with the hogs. He didn't get to do that. He was a waster of time. The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanisheth away. We must not waste time. Recognize that life is short. But number three this evening, reach for today's opportunities. Number three, reach for today's opportunities. You know what the Bible teaches us? In Galatians chapter 6 at verse number 10, it says this. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As you and I have opportunity with those that are brothers and sisters in Christ, let us do good unto them. And the Bible says in John chapter 9 and verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You see, God encourages you and I through His Word to go and to reach out, to write a letter, to send a text, to pray for someone, to give somebody help. What is it? It's reaching for today's opportunities. And can I tell you, friend, you and I are given opportunities each and every day. You and I are given opportunities to witness to someone. You and I are given opportunities to encourage someone. You and I are given opportunities to be a blessing. You and I are given opportunities to serve. Can I tell you, each and every day, we're given those opportunities. And isn't it a shame that we don't reach for them? One day, you and I will stand before Christ, and I'm thankful that His blood has covered all of our sins. If you're thankful for that, say amen. Man, I'm thankful for that. But let me tell you, you and I will give an account one day. and how many wasted opportunities we had. Instead of praying, we gossiped. Instead of moving on, we got bitter. Instead of digging in, we dug out. Instead of being a blessing, we stole it. And how oftentimes we are given these opportunities to jump in and to help and jump in to encourage and to jump in and to be a blessing. And yet we don't and we won't. Can I tell you, friend, I just want to remind you this evening. This life is short. Our service is so little. It's minute. Pastor DeFoe's up here. And I tell you, Pastor DeFoe probably remembers the day when he was going from 38 to 39. And yet, here it is. And Pastor DeFoe, you're many years past that. Can I tell you, in my life, I look at my 12-year-old son, and I remember being 12. And now it's fleeting. It's gone. And the years are behind us. And can I tell you, friend, start reaching. He's coming. We don't get out of it. We give an account. And yet, week after week after week, we will waste those opportunities. Realize, recognize, reach. But number four, remember Christ in your younger years. Number four, remember Christ in your younger years. This evening, I know we have some younger families, and I praise the Lord, been joining the church, visiting the church. We've got some college students who are in here tonight, and Pastor Dan said it, and I'm so thankful. We've used all college students that have come back from college, community college, university, and Bible college, and we've used our college students all summer to run our kids' programs. Man, I'm telling you, I'm thankful for them. There's some of you who are sitting in this room tonight, and as your pastor, I just want to tell you, I love you, but I want to encourage you to remember Christ in your younger years. Most likely in my life, 39, but more than likely my life is half over. Coming on, I know you're doing if I look at my family history, my life is most likely more than half over. I feel good. I'm in good health, playing basketball with the guys once a week. And John, Titus, you know, we're kind of the old guys out there and a couple others. But, you know, I feel good. But looking back, there's some things I would do differently. There's some days I wish I could get back. There's some years, Pastor Fitzgerald, I wish I could get back. But you know, I don't get them back. Young person, you're sitting here this evening. You have no idea the potential that you have in this life. Solomon, one of the wisest men to ever live, said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no more pleasure in them." Be used like young Samuel, who said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Young person, young family, just married, those who are in your 20s, 30s, teenagers, can I encourage you this evening? Don't seek God in 10 years. Seek God right now. Like Daniel, who determined to live a holy and useful life to God, that ought to be our prayer. The Bible says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." I love that he wanted to be useful and he wanted to be holy. He wanted to be separate from the other eunuchs in that verse. And young person, young family, listen very carefully. Ask yourself this evening. Ask yourself, what is my life worth to the Lord? I remember asking a preacher at a camp the summer before last that I had every teenager write down, if I were to pass tonight, how much light would be taken out of this world? If you were to die tonight, God forbid, but if God said, "Let's go, you're out of here," how much light would be taken out of this world? How much influence do we have on our neighbors and our lost people around us? How much light do you and I have on those in the church? Would it be, man, that's going to be a huge hole to fill? Or would it be, wow, we don't even miss them 2 weeks later? Would a spiritual battle take place if you and I were called up out of here? Or would it be just, well, I hope they were saved? Ask ourselves this question tonight. Are you and I useful to our Savior? Every adult I know, many of you in here, you're shaking your head right now because you know. Life is but a vapor. When we talk about discipleship, it's not for you and I just to dive in. We learned some cool things. Didn't really realize that. Awesome. Okay, get it. I'm a Baptist. Got what the church is. Purpose. Holy Spirit. Know how to teach somebody how to pray now. Okay, good. Creator. Creation. Man, all these things. Awesome. Got it. But the time is now to enact on it. Yeah, but I don't have anybody in front of me. We have them in front of us all the time. The time is now, friend, that we're not just going to, let's just keep doing the same old, let's just keep going along. No, we're going to keep moving. We're going to keep marching. As we're in Luke chapter 5, we're going to keep launching out. We're going to keep seeing people saved, added to the church. We're going to keep knocking it. We're going to keep going. We're going to, we are not going to stop. Because as we sang tonight, Brother Mancroni, it will be worth it all when we see